You're listening to How I Met Your Monster, a podcast that explores the introductions to your favorite movie monsters. My name's Zach.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Casey.
And together we dive into the world of horror to find out how filmmakers have introduced us to our favorite monsters time and time again. This is How I Met Your Monster.
You opened it. We came.
I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left.
Who are you?
Explorers in the further regions of experience. Demons to some, angels to others.
Call your meatloaf, Jack!
Hello and welcome to a mini edition of How I Met Your Monster, episode 69 recap.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
If you follow along with the show, you know that last week we live streamed the movie Society for episode 69. We had a good time and it was a blast.
It was.
Did you guys have a good time? I had a good time.
I had a great time.
I had a blast.
Good.
I was...
Danny, I already said it was a blast. You need to think of a new adjective.
It was fresh.
It was fresh. It was fresh and sticky.
Ew. It was shocking.
It was raw and horned up.
Yeah, it definitely was. Lots of sucking. Lots of melting.
Yeah. Lots of fisting.
I'm not going to lie. I still don't quite understand the physics and the how... What bodies
I don't
were doing?
Think when they made the movie, they were worried about that.
Yeah. Like the skin was blending into the skin. And were they getting off just by like their bodies melting into each other?
They were feeding on the poor people.
But then they were sort of like inside in each other.
Were they getting off?
I don't know.
Like, was that like why they do it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at one point, like the mom... Dad and I think sister were in the bedroom. They weren't feeding off anyone. They were just kind of like
massaging each other.
To be honest, I don't know. I don't have the word for what they were doing.
They were massaging each other.
Is that how you massage?
are you talking about when his face is actually in his ass?
Yeah. So like she had his legs and then his legs were also... had his face.
I thought you were talking about earlier when they were actually massaging each other.
The wife, her leg, like her bottom half were like his arms were like her legs.
Oh, that's right. His arms, not his legs. Because his legs were, had turned into like his torso because then his butt was where his anus should be.
He was a butthead.
Yeah, he was literally a butthead.
Wow. Powerful.
But I don't know how that movie got made. How did that movie get funding? Is what
I mean,
know.
To be honest, the pitch is interesting. You know, the concept, and we talked about this during our live watch of it, where it's like, yeah, like the rich eat the poor, but we're going to see it on a literal level, and it's going to be body horror, and it's going to have some sort of like sociopolitical, it's going to be some sociopolitical allegory, et cetera.
Sounds good.
But the pitch, I think that's what this works, movie. Is like, on paper it works, but then you see it and you're like, okay, I get it, but I didn't see the pitch in the movie until like I thought about the movie afterwards and tried to make sense of what I was watching.
I got it right away.
I was at what point did you get it? Because I didn't quite
the first time I watched it, literally as soon as they all turned into that one thing and started eating that kid, I was like, oh, this is about how the rich stay rich by feeding off of the poor.
Well, I watched this movie for the first time a few years ago, the only way I knew that was because it says it on the poster.
Mm.
And so
I never saw the poster.
I don't know. Maybe I missed it, but they like didn't talk about him being poor. Like they didn't talk about these poor people.
That's the thing. That's what threw me off.
Well, I guess he wasn't. I guess he wasn't poor. He was an outsider. Remember, his family didn't like him. He wasn't the same as his sister. He didn't excel.
Well, yeah, because he was adopted.
There you go. He was adapted.
But I feel like for a movie's sake, you should lean more into the extreme of it. You know, have him representing the whole point of what they're trying to say in the movie.
Yeah, because then at the end, they do say something about the rich feeding off the poor. But like,
yeah,
they don't make it a point throughout the movie to really put these other characters in a different class. They're just like,
yeah,
not
they all go to fancy. The same school. They all,
guys,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm taking offense to this.
Do you know what did this plot better?
I can't believe that you guys didn't understand this or like this. I can't believe it.
No, you know what did the plot better? And they could have literally just, I mean, it came after the fact, but they could have borrowed from it is the OC, where it's about a kid who like moves in, who gets taken in by this, his rich lawyer, and like is basically like semi-adopted. And he was like, grew up in a really like rough part of town. And then we see how he, his like background sort of clashes with his new like lifestyle.
I don't want to watch the OC
in Orange County. Well, I watched all of the OC.
Is there fisting? Do people die of being fisted?
It does end exactly like society ends in the last episode.
What channel was the OC on?
The CW.
I think. Oh, is it? I thought it was Fox, but I guess CW.
Imagine watching the OC on the CW or Fox, and you see the shunting with Peter Gallagher.
Oh, see that doesn't bother me.
Someone's just like sucking off his eyebrows.
I would shunt him.
That's impossible.
You would shunt Peter Gallagher?
Who's Peter Gallagher?
I have shunted him.
Is he the eyebrow guy?
Oh, he's the eyebrow guy.
I'd shunt Adam Brody. Wasn't he in that show?
He was in that show. Yeah, it was.
Casey, can you explain to me what, like, what, when you say shunting, what are you thinking of? What
I'm using it as a word for fucking.
Okay. I thought maybe it was like the fisting and turning inside out.
It's, I mean, whatever, like, to make, whatever makes my partner happy.
It's like a grosser sharding. It's like sharding, but sexual.
Shunt. Shart and bunt. Shunt. Shart. Shart. Shit and
when you shart, but you're cunt. Playing baseball, shit. You bunt.
Shit cunt.
You're shunt.
Shit cunt.
Shit. Oh shit.
Do you guys remember that movie Parenthood where the kids singing like, when you're sliding into first and you're feeling something burst, diarrhea.
So when I went to school to be a veterinary technician, I actually had to do a presentation on animals with diarrhea. And in between each slide, I would sing part of that song.
That's really cute.
When you're sliding up a ladder or when you're climbing up a ladder and you feel something splatter. Diarrhea. When you're riding diarrhea. In a Chevy and you feel something heavy.
What else can we do? What else can we build on this song? When you're feeling in a rut and there's something in your butt, diarrhea. Diarrhea.
Running down the gutter with a piece of bread and butter.
That's Linda Belcher.
Some people think it's funny, but it's really wet and runny.
Diarrhea.
All right. There's not really even any diarrhea in this movie, but you know.
No, there's none. No. And I'm grateful for that.
There's none.
It's as gross as diarrhea, maybe. Would we argue that this is as gross, if not, is this gross, grosser, or not as gross as diarrhea?
It's definitely grosser than diarrhea. Diarrhea, yeah. Although it is disgusting, it is still a natural body function.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's yeah, true. Shunting is not.
As far as we know.
Yeah.
True.
So
I grew up super poor. I would have been fed on by now.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So guys, who is the real monster in society?
Society.
Capitalism.
It is capitalism.
We're bringing it back. We haven't accused capitalism of being the real monster in a long time.
I was thinking more along the lines of like the blow up doll. Or
it wasn't the blow up doll's fault. She didn't do anything. She was just, you know, she was bought and sold and
mm-hmm. Or
yeah.
Who's the kid? What was the kid's name that Autumn it was just like already hiding in the closet?
Oh yeah.
I was gonna say Chandler, but it wasn't Chandler, it was
Chandler Bing.
That was Matthew Perry.
Dude, fuck that guy.
Oh, what was his name?
Yeah.
Oh, it was named after. It was. Oh,
it was something. Blanchard. No, not Blanchard.
Yes, it was. It was Blanchard because we had a teacher.
Was it?
Jason Blanchard, and that's why I remembered it. Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Blanchard. Well, that's the thing. Is he the what was he doing? What was anyone doing? I had a little trouble, and maybe it was because we did the watch along, so I was kind of like I was like sensory overload. So I was sort of everywhere with this movie. I was sort of paying attention to everyone who had joined to like watch with us. And I think I was just so excited about that and like reading their comments that I was a little, and then I had a lag. So I was a little bit thrown off. So any criticisms I have of the movie aren't totally justified, but I don't quite remember. Was he spying on the girl for like, because he was being perverted, or did he have suspicions about the family and was trying to like get intel?
You know, now that I think about it, it was probably meant to look like the first one, but actually the second one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. Because
he was the one with the tapes, right?
Yeah.
Billy like tries to throw him out. He's like, wait, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you. Like, he's trying to explain to him, I think. And then he's just like, get the fuck out of here.
How about the girl who wants to pee in the tea?
Oh, yeah. Well, that opens up an interesting discussion because, as we all know, we do not kink shame on this.
We don't. I know, podcast. Because I was so getting ready to say, as long as they're not hurting anybody, if they want to drink each other's pee.
And she did bring it up. She, like, waited for his consent. Or did she?
She asked him.
Yeah.
Okay. She's like, do you want to do that?
She didn't just.
He's like, no. She's like, no, me neither. I don't know why I asked. Let's move on. Just like, regular tea.
She's like, do you want me to pee in your tea? And he's like, what? She's like, what?
What?
I thought you said what? What?
Do you want me to pee in your tea? Do you want me to go get your skis? Do you want me to do as you please?
Just give me the goddamn number.
Just give me the goddamn number. When I went to Steel City Con last weekend, I saw the first piece of Dumb and Dumber like fan art ever at a convention, and it was pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
It was like stylized kind of like comic book drawings, and it was of the Shaggin' Wagon.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't remember what quote it was. And then it showed, and it was like Lloyd Christmas really close to his face. And it said something. Anyway. Yeah. But
that's cute.
Anyway.
Speaking of movies that aren't society, this past week, we were gifted a new teaser trailer for Scream 6. Danny, how do you feel about that?
I am so excited.
I like how they made the B and the I out of the M.
Yeah.
Do you know what I love? I love how, like, in this movie franchise, you get Scream, Scream 2, Scream 3, Scream 4, and then Scream, and then Scream Roman numeral 6. I really kind of hope they do, like, for part 7, they either go back to, I don't know, what do you call it when the numbers are written, like, the way we write? No, I don't know. That, or, like, give it a subtitle. You know, like just have the new trilogy be like
Scream 7, Scream Roman numeral, Scream
subtitle. Just like fuck it up. Like go crazy.
Do you think that they are in New York because Kirby lives in New York and they're going to see her?
So I believe it's been revealed that they are going to school there. I think.
Because of Kirby.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is. They're going to Kirby University. She started a school after she survived. She gives out a scholarship after she survived Ghostface in 2011. And all four of these survivors got it for obvious reasons.
That's right.
You know what? I thought it would be fun if at least one of them, and I guess it would be Mindy, was going to film school. Because Wes Craven, when he started his career, he was in New York City when he connected with Sean Cunningham, who did Friday the 13th, which was shot in New Jersey. So I hope they do. I mean, who knows? But like, it would be nice if they did some kind of nod that like she's shooting a horror movie in, you know, the woods, you know, rural New Jersey or something. It's like a little, love letter to Wes. Excuse me. But yeah, I'm excited. It's set on Halloween.
What if they had like another party for Wes. Like another like, banner.
Goodbye, that Jen's like, for Wes, like we already did this.
Wait, did you say Halloween it comes out?
No, it's just set during Halloween.
Oh, okay.
That's the one thing I'm hoping for this movie is...
That makes sense. That's why everyone's dressed up.
Exactly. I used to live in Brooklyn, and it's funny, whenever you see movies that are set, you know, it's like, it's the New York one, you know, like Jason Takes Manhattan. It's like always like, and I don't mean this as like a diss, it's just like the obvious, like we're going to go to these very metropolitan areas.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is I obviously do that. Yeah, definitely do that. But there are so many other elements of living in a city that are so scary. Like I remember just going on walks with Brewster and going into the park at night, in the middle of the night, and you like realize you're like really deep in this dark space where literally anyone can be there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just feel like there are, or like going down like a back alley or something that maybe isn't as obvious, I hope they kind of play with. I did see that there was one behind the scenes little video they released where Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega, who play Sam and Tara, are in like a little bodega. And I was like, okay, that feels very appropriate for,
yeah.
I feel like anyone who lives in New York is like, you frequent a bodega quite a bit.
Yeah. I hope they get some good Chinese food.
Me too. Yes.
From one of those like little buffets that are in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
This is actually very funny. It's not funny, but very weird. And I'm just remembering this. I had a dream that I was back in New York last night.
Oh yeah.
It was very weird. I was actually in this apartment, but in my head, it was New York. And then I was, wait, okay. I swear on all things, I'm not trying to be like on the nose. I literally had a dream that I was walking the dog in the park at night, last night in my dream, which maybe now that I think of it is why I subconsciously wanted to talk about that.
You were walking the dog.
I was walking the dog.
That's how you said that. I was walking the dog.
It's like that Rolling Stones song where Mick Jagger says something about being in Central Park after dark. People think I'm crazy.
It's just like that.
Oh, see? Is that the one where he sings about shunting?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
I think it's called The Night of the Shunt.
Mick Jagger would shunt. did you notice, Casey, in the Scream teaser that there are quite a few little horror references, little Easter eggs?
Yeah.
They've got Jason, Pinhead. Did you see, or no, do you know what they failed to include?
I'm sure there are plenty of them that they failed to include. There's no Freddy.
But specifically, there was no Shunter.
There was no shunting
in general. No shunting.
What would a Halloween costume of a shunter look like?
Well, it would have to be a group costume.
Mm. Or you could, like they'd have like a nose, kind of like the.
You could do that.
Not like a nose, but like the whole face kind of stretched out.
Do you know what a shunt is?
No.
No.
A hollow tube surgically placed in the brain to help brain cerebrospinal fluid and redirect it to another location in the body where it can be reabsorbed.
That kind of fits.
All right, so something about absorption.
Yeah.
And the brain, so like they were kind of became a sort of like a horny hive mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the orgy version of a hive
or shunt.
Mind.
Shunt, the verb, is to push or pull from the main line to a siding or from one track to another.
Well, they did do a lot of pulling.
All right, so basically it's like transferring or blending.
To provide an electrical current with a conductor joining two points of circuit.
That's the least fucking...
Well, when it said something about joining things together and then it kind of...
You got excited about it.
Because...
she's onto something and then you're talking about electricity.
Because it said... Because the part... I didn't read the part that was in parentheses at first until I read it out loud. Because it says... To provide with a conductor joining two points of a circuit. And they're like, you know, but then it says an electrical current. And I didn't read that part. Shunting.
Do you know what I feel like we missed out? I'm trying to find like sexual terms that we can like use And the only thing I could think of was blue balls, but that doesn't really. It's like the what would be a good word for like when you're not satisfied? There's like no payoff.
Blue balls.
You know, there was no happy ending, basically.
Oh, they were playing basketball and they were wearing blue uniforms.
Oh, there it is.
Blue balls.
There it is. But this is specifically in reference to the ending. I feel like we would have all been happy to. I guess we did see a defeat in some sense when he pulls the guy inside out. But I feel like there was potential for the villains as a whole to be sort of destroyed because they were like merged together.
Hmm.
You know, like
kind of like the beast Slither.
While they're yes, 100% mm-hmm. like Slither. That's the thing that threw me with this movie is it's I had a little trouble following the plot.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people might say, oh, well, you don't need a plot for something like this. It's just like a silly, gory 80s horror movie. But I feel like that would have made me want to revisit it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I said I don't think they were I don't think that it doesn't need one. I think it does certainly need a plot. I don't think when they were making it, they were worried about that because it was so shocking. They're like, this is how we're going to get
them. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So, Zach, you had asked earlier about like how this movie got made. Do you think, in your guys' opinion, it was made on the pitch of like that concept of the story or on the promise of it being so gross that audiences are going to lose their mind?
Well, that's a good question because it was the directorial debut of Brian Usna, who was producer of Reanimator. And that was pretty out there in terms of violence and stuff. So,
I wonder if there was someone there kind of.
Yeah. If there was someone who was like, give us something gross. Like,
yeah,
this is what we want to put out.
Audience have their expectations set. How do we push that even further?
Yeah. Because I feel like whoever was funding this had to know it was going to be gross because if you just like pitch a movie about like society and the rich class and the poor class and this, and then you go and make this and you show them that they're like, here's the movie we're putting out. And they'd be like, what the fuck?
Not what we thought.
All right. Maybe an unpopular opinion. I would like to see a remake.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would watch a remake of Society.
You'd have to walk a fine line because you don't want to play it safe, but you also.
No, but like you said,
there are so many expectations.
They could tell the story a lot better.
That's the thing. I think like audiences are going to go in knowing like the standard has already been set. Like we already know it can or will be gross.
Except so,
like,
most how do you just like
build
on probably that? Never even seen this movie.
Yeah. Well, that's also like kind of a gift. If like you've never seen it and you have no idea, you still get the benefit of the twist.
Yeah.
And I would, if I were to do it, I think I would, the movie gave away more than I thought it would, kind of hinting at the body horror earlier on.
Yeah.
Where I would have treated it like, kept it like a mystery, you know, play with those themes, still keep it more suspenseful. But like truly suspenseful, like actually genuinely like a bit frightening.
Yeah, they could make it a lot creepier instead of like gross, like rapey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But then in the end, you can get like, holy mother, like what am I watching right now? But in the same way that Slither did it, you know, Slither got away with that, where it's still something that you could rewatch it because there are really compelling characters. There's a fun story. There's the atmosphere is a little bit more inviting, I guess.
So it was made in 1989.
Yep.
And it debuted at the Cannes Film Festival.
Of course.
It was released in Japan in 1990. It didn't come out in the US until 1992.
Wow.
That's wild.
Cannes was like, we want to just hold on to this movie for a while because it's so special to us. And then you can see it.
Yeah. It says the budget was estimated to be $2 million.
I would say that's too many million dollars.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with Society, I have to say. Yeah. And it just proves that we are going to do many more watch-alongs in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. I think I would not have had nearly as much fun. I feel like my fun would have been like manufactured. I would have been like wanting to have fun watching this alone, but would have just been grossed out and maybe a little distracted. Yeah, definitely benefits watching it with people.
Yeah, yeah. And we are super grateful for those of you who turned out to watch Society with us. It was a blast, and we will definitely do it again in the future. With, not with Society. God, so I'm not watching that.
No, either, yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, we're just going to keep rewatching Society. I have to say, I'm not exaggerating. That was some of the most fun I've had in a long time. It was fun. I think it, you know, it just says a lot about, like, community watching, but also, like, community watching horror specifically.
We had a lot of jokes in the group chat. A lot of jokes.
Yep.
And horror fans are always like, they get the jokes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the fun of watching certain horror movies, is that it can sort of play as a really entertaining joke.
Yeah. Yeah. So next week, we will have a new episode for you in just 1 week from now.
Oh, my God. What is this? The holidays? Is it a Christmas present?
It's like
or something?
The holidays. It's like a Christmas present. It's like we are Santa. We are Santa's helpers. And
we're like shunting, you know, like we morph and become Santa as one being.
Yes.
Separately, we are elves, but as
Do
one,
you
we
think
are Santa.
All the elves shunt and become Santa?
They are some privileged, you know, that it's about class and like, yeah, they have the power. They hold a lot of power and magic.
So horror is big right now in mainstream horror. Christmas horror is really big. Mm-hmm. We could do a Society remake, but like Christmas.
Well, I mean, Christmas is all about capitalism.
That's right.
So,
oh my gosh.
It makes sense.
It's very fitting.
Dude.
It kind of writes itself.
Mm-hmm. And all the elves fucking just...
fucking.
And now they're Santa.
But speaking of Christmas, our next episode is a movie that I have been wanting to cover since we started this podcast. Mm-hmm. And now I am finally able to... talk about it.
Yeah.
You finally put your foot down.
I'm finally put my foot down. I'm like, we're doing this movie. We are watching Anna and the Apocalypse, which if you have not seen it, you are doing yourself harm.
A disservice.
You are actually doing yourself harm by not watching it.
You are doing yourself harm.
You probably have a headache right now because of that.
Yeah. Have you had a headache for like the past, I don't know, like 5 years?
5 years.
Yeah.
And you don't know why you can't get rid of it. It's because you didn't watch Anna and the Apocalypse. And I will be the first to tell you, clearly, because it's my opinion, that I do not care for musicals. Like, I don't.
No, he doesn't.
There's nothing about them that makes me want to go like, oh, yeah, I really want to watch this. But this movie.
Zach physically can't sing. I've asked him to sing and he just talks.
The music in this movie is so good that I became one of those people who listens to a musical's soundtrack in the car. Like people do that with like Hamilton.
Before,
was it your car?
Listen, before like, you know, iPhones and aux cables and all that were a thing. I listened to the Rent soundtrack, the CD. Oh, for a long time, Brooke actually bought me a bunch of CDs from a thrift store because she was listening to the Rent soundtrack in my car.
Oh, I thought you said Reds.
Rent.
Like with
Warren Beatty. It's like 6 hours long.
She's like humming along to it.
She's like, we're going on a road trip. What do you guys want to listen to? Reds?
Is it Reds?
Rent. And I am one of those people. I listen to the Wicked soundtrack.
Oh, I love musicals.
Oh, my gosh, me too.
Well, after this, you guys will be listening to Anna and the Apocalypse.
Maybe.
Guaranteed. Yeah. Guaranteed.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Is this our first musical?
Yeah, I think so. There aren't very many horror musicals. I mean, there's Anna and the Apocalypse, Repo, and Sweeney Todd.
There's an old one, Phantom of the Paradise, which is really good.
Oh.
Directed by Brian De Palma.
Oh, I have heard of that. Yeah, I have not seen it. But also, guys, we're missing awesome. like the most famous horror musical.
Rocky Horror.
Oh God, that's the one. Rocky Horror.
I said Phantom of the Opera.
What's the other one?
Oh my God, why can't I say the name of it?
Is it not Phantom of the Opera?
No. Oh, that's the most famous. I said that three times. But there's another one. Oh my God, Seymour.
Oh, suddenly Seymour.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors. Thank you.
Yeah, we definitely need to do Little Shop of Horrors at some point. That would be a lot of fun. But not next week. Nope. It's Anna and the Apocalypse, and we're sticking to it. So make sure to join us for that. If you are not already subscribed to the show, make sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Google, all those. And we look forward to our next live watch along. What's that saying where it's like bated breath? What do you say?
Yeah, we're drooling in bated breath. No, we're waiting with bated. Yeah, we're
waiting. Is it
we're
waiting
with
bated
breath? It with bated breath.
What is bated breath?
It's like I gotta hold that breath. It's baited. It's masturbated. With masturbated breath. It's when you masturbate your breath.
Yes. We are waiting with masturbated breath.
Ew.
For our next live watch along. Now go meet some monsters.